The Hamlet Podcast, Episode 13. Hello and welcome to this exploration of Shakespeare's King Lear, with me, your host, Conor Hanratty. We ended last week's short episode just as Gloucester had read this shocking letter written by his son, all about taking over his money and his estates and killing him if necessary. Of course, the hoodwinked father believes the wrong son wrote the letter, while its true author now plays the loyal child. Edmund has been very convincing, and it's excruciating to watch. Gloucester says, "Oh, villain, villain, his very opinion in the letter. Abhorred villain, unnatural, detested, brutish villain, worse than brutish. Go, sirrah, seek him. I'll apprehend him. Abominable villain. Where is he?" Gloucester's language here is extreme. He's so appalled at his son's betrayal. His words are all to do with how unnatural it is for a son to go against his father. Unnatural, brutish, abominable. There's a lot of hatred, too. Edgar is immediately abhorred and detested. His very opinion, his true thoughts are in this letter quite clearly. And so Gloucester's opinion has entirely changed now that he knows this truth. Edgar is not just brutish, he's worse than brutish, and he is a villain. Gloucester says the word 5 times. There's a bit of a rhythm for bad things coming in fives in this play. Between Lear and Cordelia, we heard nothing 5 times when the word first appeared. Here, we keep hearing villain. And one of the play's most famous lines will repeat the word never 5 times in perhaps the most perfect and devastating line of blank verse Shakespeare ever wrote. For now, Gloucester, utterly swindled, wants to get his hands on Edgar. He tells Edmund to go and find him, seek him, and Gloucester will have him locked up. But where is he? Edmund, smooth as a knife, has a very cunning answer. "I do not well know, my lord. If it shall please you to suspend your indignation against my brother, till you can derive from him better testimony of his intent, you shall run a certain course, where, if you violently proceed against him, mistaking his purpose, it would make a great gap in your own honour, and shake in pieces the heart of his obedience. I dare pawn down my life for him, that he hath wrote this to feel my affectation to your honour, and to no further pretence of danger." Edmund really overplays his concern for Edgar here, as the puppet master orchestrating this whole scene. His language is overly formal and drawn out, as he has to calm Gloucester down and get him to play along with this plan. He maintains that he doesn't know where Edgar is, but if Gloucester will be so good as to suspend his indignation and give Edgar the benefit of the doubt, until they have clearer evidence of his wicked intents, things will go better. Edmund's suggesting they need this better testimony to stay on a more certain course. He's made the whole thing up, but ingeniously suggests that they need stronger evidence than this letter he's written. Because if Gloucester were to proceed against Edgar violently in his current state, and be proved wrong, well then he would be in serious trouble. It would be a great gap in his father's honour, and compromise all of Edgar's obedience to him now and probably in the future. Edmund is prepared to lay down his life for the sake of his brother's innocence. He dares pawn down his life in the belief that this letter was really Edgar testing Edmund's loyalty to their father. And nothing more dangerous than that. No further pretense of danger. Gloucester, easily led, and perhaps still hoping that his legitimate son is not planning to kill him, hopes that this is the case. He asks, "Think you so?" Without answering directly, Edmund offers a plan. He says, "If your honour judge it meet, I will place you where you shall hear us confer of this, and by an auricular assurance have your satisfaction, and that without any further delay than this very evening." Eavesdropping never goes particularly well in Shakespeare's plays, but Edmund proposes it anyway. He volunteers to set his father up somewhere where he can overhear him chatting with Edgar. Gloucester will hear them confer and talk about this letter, and thereby have, and I love this phrase, auricular assurance, overheard evidence, that Edgar is not trying to kill him and steal his money. Gloucester will be satisfied, Edmund promises, and he'll have it all arranged this very evening. Gloucester, horrified, will go along with the plan. But there's more convincing that Edmund needs to do, and so we'll save his continued wickedness for the next episode. Thanks a million for your company. The episodes were a little short at the moment as we divide up this rather long scene, but I'll have another one for you next week, and I'll speak to you then.